This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that.
Yeah.
No hassle.
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you. From daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
This is Computer Talk with Tab, hosted by Eric Semmel of Tab Computer Systems. Interact with Eric and his guest by phone at 522-WTIC. Email them in the studio at gethelp@tabinc.com or get help anytime at computertalkwithtab.com. Now, here's Eric.
And good morning. This is Computer Talk with Tab. I'm Eric.
And I'm Dennis.
And we're going to be here till 11 o'clock, so get online in the second hour. 860-522-9842 is the number. And let's get back to Shannon real quickly, who's trying to get around the fact that her old IT provider, current IT provider, locked her out of her operating system, right?
Yes. And actually, during the break, the Google Chrome still didn't come up, obviously, because of the S factor.
Right.
Right.
But it comes up to say, to finish installing Chrome, you need to switch out of S mode. So it was telling me.
Yeah.
And it also gave me steps. So that's
it's prompting you.
That's good. Nice.
Yeah. Right.
So that's good. Now, my other two quick things.
Yeah.
Because in trying to figure this out over the past day and a half, C-Lite as a browser was a suggestion, but that didn't seem to have the little protection lockbox in the URL bar. So is there any benefit to using the C-Lite browser?
Never heard of it.
I've never heard of that one either, no.
Really? I feel kind of good. You guys look it up. It's C-Lite, and it's a browser.
Gotcha. Oh, there's probably tons of them out there. There's tons of them out there. You know, alternative browsers that I'd recommend would be Brave, the Brave browser.
Brave is really good.
B-R-A-V-E?
Yeah.
B-R-A-V-E.com.
Yep, and it's got a lion head if you get the right logo.
So hold on to that. Yep. All right, and then just wrapping up real quick, I'm sure there are a lot of folks waiting on a Saturday morning. I have a smart television, and I'm not getting the local channels like I thought I would based on what they're telling me. I thought I could turn on my ABC and I could watch all of ABC, but that's not true. So I understand I need an antenna.
Yeah.
If I purchase an antenna and literally just plug it into the back, will I in fact have those channels, or am I still going to have to do some programming?
No, you should be able to choose the antenna source for your TV. You're going to change your source from whatever you're maybe using a Roku now or something. You're going to change it over.
I am.
Yep, change it over to the antenna. And then it's depending on how well or how close you are to the sources of the TV stations, you should get it. So get a high definition antenna, right? And as far as there's all sorts of antennas out there that you can research.
Yeah.
I've never had very much good luck with them myself. How about you, Dennis?
After the digital conversion in 2009? Mm-hmm. No. At my house, I can get like two channels.
Yeah.
Channel 3 and channel 24. And that's pretty much
it. Interesting thing. Yeah. I'm stuck watching streaming stuff all day. I don't want that. I want to still go back to local beyond just the news.
Yeah.
So it's been a challenge.
Who are you paying for your streaming service? What did you choose?
Am I allowed to say it? The company that starts with an F, Frontier.
Wait a minute. So they're not giving you your channels? You're paying Frontier for just the internet, right?
Correct.
That's it. Okay, so you don't have a streaming service. You're using like Netflix or what have
you. Oh, Roku TV came with it. So all I the Netflix, yes, and the Paramount and the Hulu. I have all of them.
All right. Well, that's cool. You need to, you can consider also, if the antenna doesn't work, a streaming service that gives you local channels, which would be like a YouTube TV or a Sling.
There is a Hulu Live version of Hulu that includes over-the-air channels.
There is true, too.
And Sling.
With one of those live channels, the services, I won't have to have an antenna?
Correct.
No, it would come in over the internet.
Yeah, so go research Hulu for live channels, and I bet you'll be happy.
Gotcha. Well, no, I bet you I'm happy now that I know about this S thing and I'm going to get my Chrome back and get my Zoom ready.
Yeah. And you got to ask your buddy there what he's loading on your machine. You know, where did he get that software?
Yeah, because the government's not going to come looking for me, are they?
No. No, yeah, the government doesn't know their software from their elbow.
Nope.
Listen, gentlemen, I always appreciate the help. I've called. It's been a while since I have. I always listen.
Awesome.
But this is probably my second or third time calling. I do appreciate your help. You guys have a great day.
Our pleasure. Good luck, Shana.
Mm-hmm. All right. Thank you. Yep. Appreciate it.
Bye-bye. Yep, all right. So she's got some things going on. Just when you think, you know, an IT guy's helping you and he loads the S mode on your machine and locks you down.
Yeah.
I don't know. Let's go on to Guy in West Hartford. Hey, Guy, what do you got cooking?
Hey, Eric, Dennis, how's it going, Guy? I've got a question about the PCIe memory cards.
Mm.
And also through the break, I came up with another question about device encryption. And to top it off, I think I got a solution for the guy whose devices won't connect to his landlord's Wi-Fi.
Can we start with that first? I want to see what your theory is.
Yeah. Here's what he can do, and I'm not going to try and debug the landlord's Wi-Fi. He can take his device, plug in an Ethernet cable to his WAN cable to the landlord's, one of the landlord's hardware ports. So effectively, he could take his router, become an endpoint to the landlord's device, and then he won't have to go over and bug his landlord anymore. He can control his own device because he already has the access to it.
Well, that's an option, right? So he's going to take a drill and drill a hole between his apartment and the landlord's and run a wire.
Well, yeah, you could do that. Or just the landlord would have to plug it in.
Running in there. But, yeah, I hear what you're saying. That is a way to get around it. So then he'll have his own SSID.
Right. And he would have
to come up. You were trying to actually fix the problem. I'm just sitting here dreaming about a workaround.
You're MacGyvering it.
Yeah, and he would have to turn off DHCP in his own router too.
Well, no, his solution needs
true.
That.
True, right?
He'd be his own access point on the network. But that's the other thing about that guy is going to cause a problem, right? So two routers on the same network, say handing up DHCP, it'll make
what
a mess.
I'm worried about. Yeah,
it's kind of a no-no.
I got three of them on mine. Maybe that's my problem.
Three routers?
Three
actual routers, Guy?
Yeah, I put a router behind a router, and I've got a third one that's just an endpoint. So, no, I've got them all talking.
All right. Well, if they're all handing out IP addresses, you're going to end up with a mess at some point. But go ahead. But that's good. We're glad you thought about, you know, what you're thinking there for helping them out. So what else is your issue? What else you got going on?
So, okay. Now, SSDs. Now, instead of a SATA-connected hard drive, now I got a new PC. It's got a PCIe memory card, non-volatile memory.
Mm-hmm.
Screaming fast. It's... But to partition this device,
it's M.2, right?
Backups on and whatnot. But to partition it, and maybe it's just my configuration. I've got a legal copy of AOME Partition Magic on a thumb drive. I boot the thumb drive, but I can't see the PCIe memory card on there.
You're not seeing the boot device as the M.2.
Yeah, shouldn't I be able to see and partition that device just like a hard drive?
Yeah.
You should, but does the BIOS or UFI in your computer recognize it? That's the question.
Yeah, if I go to the BIOS, I see it.
It sees it? Okay.
All right, then maybe that tool's not seeing it for whatever reason.
Yeah, that could be. Yeah. I wrote to them, you know, but it's a pretty new copy. It's about a year or two old, but it might just be the tool.
And you can partition using Windows. You don't need to use a third-party tool anymore.
Well, you can use Disk Manager.
We're using Windows, but I want to do it from. I want to just be able to control that one device. And if a person doesn't have a second memory card, then they might not be able to back up to it and whatnot. So that's why I wanted to boot from the thumb drive. But Absolutely. Okay.
What are you doing?
You went from PCIe card to thumb drive.
So you're booting off. You want to boot off the thumb drive.
In other words, I put a version of AOMI on thumb drive.
Right.
And then you boot to that using UFI, and then you don't have to load the whole operating system. I use that usually to partition stuff or to back it up. I run everything off a thumb drive, even like EVUS, the backup system. I run it off a thumb drive.
All right.
A lot of my PCs, I only have one disk drive, so I can't really boot from Windows and run off of there sometimes. But that's another topic, too.
All right. If you're doing that, there is an operating system on that USB drive that you've got AOMI on. That might not be recognizing the drive.
It might
not even be the AOMI product that isn't recognizing it.
That could be.
Yep. Yeah, it might not understand a large drive.
I'm sure it's going to be a version of Linux, and it might be stripped down because it's meant to run from a USB, and it may not have support for that drive.
Right, exactly. Well, those cards are all GPT formatted anyway because they have to be UFI, so it's not like going to be switching from MBR to GPT.
It still has to recognize the hardware for what it is.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. And if you want to repartition it, you're going to have to get to it somehow.
Right. Well, you're definitely doing some weird stuff over there, guy.
Yeah. Well, here, you ready for the third one?
I don't know. I'm not sure.
I'm bracing for it. Go.
Dennis is maybe not Eric.
Do you like turn your coffee? Do you start your car by turning your coffee maker on? What are you doing over there? Yeah. Go ahead.
I put it in neutral and roll it down the hill and pop the clutch.
Yeah, right? That's what we used to do.
Yeah, good. You remember those days.
Oh, sadly.
Now you know how old I am.
Yeah. I had a Mercury Lynx. We called it the silver bullet that I had to do that with every now and again. So go ahead.
All right. The new computer's got bitwise encryption on the hard drive, Windows 11, and it came with bitwise encrypted the system disk.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I get that that's a security thing, but if I take that disk out and put it into another one, I won't be able to read it. I mean, what's the pros and cons of leaving bitwise encryption on or off of your system drive or hard drives?
Yeah, so Microsoft's trying to be more secure. In a business environment, more and more we're gonna recommend that your hard drive at rest be encrypted. It's less of a thing for home users in that you're just worried about somebody breaking into your home and stealing your computer and then having access to it. But by encrypting the drive, you bring a whole lot of privacy to your life, right? Because even if you lose that drive, even if that drive gets in someone else's hands, whatever's on that drive is now encrypted, and they would need the key to decrypt it. So we would be crazy to tell you it's not something you shouldn't do, but it will add more complexity to your life because now you have to put an encryption key in to boot up the machine before it gets to the operating system. And in your case, before it gets to the USB drive, I don't even know how that would work. But that's what's going to have to happen. So I tell you to keep it and get used to it because as a society, we need to do better with security. And the FBI would tell you not to use it. No, just kidding. Just kidding. I'm sure they're not listening.
Any downside?
Yeah. I mean, the downside is if you get locked out of it, right?
Right.
If for some reason the encryption key doesn't work when you need it or something goes wrong.
Well, I don't have a key. Downside. I mean, it just boots and, you know, it doesn't ask me.
The key would be in the TPM or trusted platform module on board the computer.
Right.
But you would still want to have that recovery key.
Right.
And I'm going to tell you this. First thing you do is go into BitLocker and have it. There's a way to get the recovery key.
Exported.
You print it out.
Yeah.
Print it out on a piece of paper and file that thing away. Put it in a vault. Because if something ever goes wrong with how the computer is built...
Well, make sure it's in a folder in the vault that said, FBI, look here. You don't want them going through your closets.
Why don't I just put out a yellow stick on and take it to my tree with all my other passwords? That way when the guy breaks in, it'll make it a lot easier for
exactly.
him.
Exactly.
Well, the reason is if you ever have to take it out of that computer and put it in a different one where the TPM doesn't already have the key in it,
right?
You're going to need
it. I understand, Dennis. I'm just joshing here.
I know.
But for machines that don't have TPMs, they do have to actually type that key in.
They do. All right. Correct.
So there's some kind of software in there called that Bitwise has. You're calling it TPM, where I could actually go in and get a copy of the unencryption key.
No,
so I got to figure out what that is.
Well, you go into the BitLocker control panel, okay?
All right.
And in there will be a way to get the key out and print it out. And but it's... The TPM is a piece of hardware that's in the machine that holds that data.
Oh, I see.
It holds the encryption key. It can also store a few other security-related things.
Okay. So the Bitwise software has the interface into the TPM.
Correct.
And that's my vehicle for getting access to that unencryption key. Got it.
Yep. All right, guy.
Thanks, Dennis, Eric.
Yeah, thank you for making... You made our hair hurt this morning.
Good luck starting your car right here.
Yeah, thanks. Those days are all gone. Now I just push a button and it comes on. I don't even know how it works. All right. Thanks, guy.
Hey, if you don't want to get your car stolen, just buy it with a standard transmission. No,
oh, I know.
True.
I agree. I do have one of those, and I leave the top down. Go ahead. Good luck. All right. See you, guys.
Yeah.
All right. We're going to step out for a quick break. We are back. Let's go right to your calls. You're nice enough to join us on this Saturday morning. And you're next up. Okay, next up is Bill in Wallingford. It's been on the longest. Hey, Bill, what's up?
Hi, guys.
Hi.
Appreciate your being there. And I have what to me is a weird one.
All right. It's been all morning today.
I have a neighbor who has a laptop. She uses Google Chrome as her browser.
Mm-hmm.
And she goes into the Google search page, puts in a search, and winds up with a negative 403, saying that this is just the search. That's all she's doing.
That's weird.
If she, in the same session, and I'm not making this up, in the same session, same tab and everything, she puts in an actual URL in the line, she can get to wherever she wants to go. So it's the search itself. I will tell you that she has a VPN turned on.
Ah.
And the VPN, if she turns it off, and I can't say that it's consistently, but I think it is, consistently, if she turns the VPN off, that search problem goes away. So it's kind of like the, doctor, my arm hurts if I do this. Well, don't do that
don't
anymore.
Do that. Yeah, no, right.
I'm just curious as to what it might be or how to fix it.
So this is a common issue with VPNs in that you can configure the VPN to use its own DNS or a third-party DNS, right? The idea of a VPN is to secure what you're doing online, and you don't want the local internet provider to track the DNS search you made, right? So the idea is to do that within a VPN. So when you can, however, though, and I've tried this even myself messing around, the VPN itself, when you turn that stuff on, it still has issues. And I'm running a VPN like with Proton. You try to configure the DNS service you want to use, and still your searches don't quite always work, and there's weird delays. So and Dennis is shaking his head too that he's seen that too. So DNS and VPNs for searches do seem to be problematic. Do you have any solutions, Dennis, that you've come across as far as making that work all the time? Or
I would wonder what country the VPN is in,
right?
And what I think might be happening is, she's going to google.com, which is Google in the U.S.
Right.
But at some point, while Google is doing the search, it realizes that she's in some other country.
Right.
And then it's switching her over to that country's Google portal.
Mm-hmm.
Gotcha.
And there's a break somewhere in there because her computer is not really capable of reaching that portal, in spite of having a VPN located there, if that makes any sense.
Yeah, no, I understand what you're saying. She tells me that she's connected, the VPN is connected to a U.S. Site, if you will, but I've not verified that myself. So,
yeah, look at the VPN configuration for how it handles DNS, and there's usually some checkboxes in there that you can put in, maybe the OpenDNS DNS IPs, right? OpenDNS is an option for you. And see if that works better for her. But you can have trouble. And there's been issues with all that DNS leaking happening. Even when you pop up on the VPN service, you know, they're using your local DNS sometimes to do your search, and then you're like, wait a minute, that doesn't give me a secure connection. And then sometimes they were having the DNS on the VPN side capture all that information. So there's a lot going on there. Hope that helps you. We are coming up against the bottom of the hour. Do you have a second question?
That's good. By the way, I want to thank Dennis for his recommendation of a camera store in Hartford via email.
Okay.
We went there. My friend and I went there yesterday. He bought a bunch of equipment, and the service was terrific. I'll mention the name if you want.
We got to go, Bill. It was the Camera Bar.
Camera Bar in Hartford.
I get asked almost every day, what is that?
Okay, we are back. This is Computer Talk with Tam. We got a couple lines open for you guys. Feel free to get online, 860-522-9842 or WTIC. And we'll do our best to help you out with your computer problems, comments, questions, and concerns. Been a weird one this morning. Very interesting questions.
Oh, very, very interesting.
And that we like that stuff. So we'll hopefully it hasn't made your hair hurt like it's made our hair hurt. But we will do our best to continue through here. But let's go to Bob in Hebron and see what he's got cooking. Hey, Bob. What's up?
Hi, guys.
Hi.
Love the show. Faithful listener.
Thanks.
My question is about, I just fired up a brand new...
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This President's Day, upgrade the look of your home without breaking your budget. Save up to 40% site-wide on brand new window treatments now at Blinds.com. Blinds.com, the number one online retailer of custom window treatments, is the better way to give your home the presidential treatment. Blinds.com makes it easy with free virtual consultations on your schedule and samples delivered directly to your door, fast and free. Choose from trending woven wood shades or upgrade to motorized. Blinds.com has everything and more, all with upfront pricing and no hidden fees. Need help with installation? Blinds.com can handle it for you. Or DIY with expert guidance from our design pros. With over 25 million windows covered and our 100% satisfaction guarantee, you can count on Blinds.com to deliver results you'll love. Shop Blinds.com's President's Day Mega Sale Last Chance right now and save up to 40% site-wide, plus a free professional measure. Up to 40% off site-wide at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
The Windows 11 machine, an HP Envy.
Nice.
And it's got some stuff preloaded on it. One thing that is, it's got my, McAfee for, antivirus. And, I'd just like to, uninstall that and just go with Defender and then go with Windows for the firewall.
Right.
And, so, now when I go on the apps, for, McAfee, it's got, two of them. It's got McAfee Live Safe and McAfee Personal Security. So, and so I was going to try and uninstall both of them.
Yeah, sure.
Does that wipe them from the computer, or does that just disable them?
It should wipe them from the computer, but I have seen cases where it doesn't completely remove them. What's nice is that McAfee provides a removal tool that you can download and run, and it will purge the computer of all their stuff.
Okay, how would you know if the stuff was still on there?
Well, you would be able to look in the file structure, and you might see files still under a program files / McAfee directory. You might see registry entries that are identified as being from McAfee. You might even see a service running that is for McAfee.
So
okay. Now, if I uninstall both of those, that should automatically turn Defender on.
Correct.
Yep.
Okay. Now, if it had some remnants, if I uninstall both of them and then it had some remnants, like you were just saying, would that interfere with Windows, with Defender turning it, getting turned on automatically? Or
no, it doesn't. It just might. It just means that there's a few hangover files or registry entries.
So it just, it sounds more like just a nuisance thing.
It's a nuisance. Yeah.
Okay. I'll give it a shot. The other question I had, what really surprised me is when I fired up this new machine and I went through the filling in my Microsoft account info.
Yeah.
And then that adapted some of my settings from one of my other Microsoft settings. And then I got all the way to my new desktop and my internet connection was working. And I was expecting that I was just going to have to plug in my password for my internet setting. I get it through Frontier, but I didn't have to do that, which made me wonder, like, are they storing my the password for my internet through
through Microsoft
Frontier,
through the settings
in the cloud?
Well, on Windows 11. If you log into many Microsoft products, what will happen is it remembers that account on a system level, and you are authenticated to all kinds of different Microsoft products on that computer.
Right.
And the way that you would control that is to go into the settings, which is you click on start and then the little cog, And there will be an accounts section, and your account, your Microsoft account will be listed there.
His question was that, does Microsoft store the SSID credentialing? Because it looked like he did not have to put in an SSID credential on this new machine.
It automatically might be doing that.
Yeah,
well, it clearly might be doing that. And it would be keeping that in cloud storage for him.
Right.
Yeah, I hadn't heard of it doing it, but I don't see why it's not impossible. So
right, you just repass the information it has from the other machine. Oh, I see you're on the same SSID.
So if it's saving, that password, what else might it be saving?
That's a
lot of stuff. A lot of stuff. I'm sure.
That's a fair question, Bob.
But passwords too. I mean, I always click when I'm. Using my browser and I have to put in a password for something, I always click on never save.
Right.
So I thought that was keeping me clean on that.
But you are in that case. So I would think of it, if this is the case, and I believe you that this is what happened, we'd have to check to see if Microsoft is doing this. But in the interest of ease of access, there really is no harm, no foul to say, okay, if Bob Systems knows the SSID and password for Bob's own Wi-Fi, what harm would it be to not pass that information through automatically rather than make Bob enter it again? Because, of course, Bob's saying to himself, hey, I'm configuring a Windows system within my network. Why doesn't Windows remember this? It does seem like a feature that I would appreciate, because all you're doing, my kids can remember my SSID, our SSID passwords at our home, but I can't. I have to pull it out and type and figure it out what it is. It is kind of a nice feature if that's what they're doing, because there's really no security issue there. They know you're Bob. They credentialed you as Bob. They know you're actually within the SSID of your network. So they know all that, they being Microsoft. And they're like, well, if he happens to be in this network, I'm not going to make him put the SSID key in because it's Bob. I know Bob. Right? So if you put it in that context, it does seem helpful.
Okay. I shouldn't worry about it unless, on this new machine, the first time I try to go into
your bank,
something like a bank account,
right?
I go into my bank that it sends me, it lets me go right in, and I don't have to put a password.
Well, at that point, you should worry there, right? Because the bank bank software shouldn't recognize your browser. They shouldn't recognize your system. They should force your second factor request. Yes, all that should happen, and I would highly doubt you're going to have that problem. I actually know you're not going to have that problem.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Great. Thanks a lot. I really, really appreciate the help.
Our pleasure.
And we'll continue to be a faithful listener.
Sounds good, Bob. All right. Thanks. We appreciate it. That would be a handy little feature, right? Why not, if you already know it, if Microsoft already has that information from a past operating system, all you're doing is passing that. We should look that up.
A lot of mobile devices will do that. I know that it happens with iPhones and Android.
So if you get a new Android and you log back in.
And if you have cloud sync for that device.
It'll reload it. Yeah.
Reload all that stuff. It will.
So four lines open, guys. Feel free to get online. 860-522-9842 is the number. Now, while we wait for your calls, do you want to bring up any kind of news there, Dennis?
I do.
What do you got?
We already talked about some layoffs at a lot of big tech companies.
Yes, we did.
But one of them is also coming up with a new way to save money for itself.
This is really Bob. This is awful.
Scrooge is the perfect word for this.
Yeah.
Okay. Amazon, mm-hmm. I don't know how many people out there know, they had something called the Amazon Smile program.
Yes.
Which automatically racked up donations to a charity of your choice based on your purchases on mm-hmm. Amazon.
Right.
And I don't even think you needed to be an Amazon Prime member to mm-hmm. do it.
Nope.
You just sign up for Smile and away you went.
Mm-hmm.
And it would donate a small amount of money to your charity, whichever one you pick. And it turns out that they are discontinuing that in February.
It's so gross.
And I am astounded at the reasoning for it. And normally I don't read from these articles,
mm-hmm.
but this particular article quotes the company.
Yep.
And I have to read that to you guys.
Yeah, where's the article?
Because this is corporate speak. This article is on... Oh, I believe it. Well, let's see.
I didn't think it'd be a trick question, but go ahead. Read the quote. Okay. We'll put the link up there for you.
Yeah, we will. Let's see. After almost a decade, the program has not grown to create the impact that we had originally hoped.
Mm-hmm.
With so many eligible organizations, more than 1 million globally, our ability to have an impact was often spread too thin. That is their reason.
Yeah, so ridiculous.
Now, it does make a little bit of sense that they're saying, you know, we're giving out very small amounts of money to a million different charities. But the problem with that is that it's free money for the charity. They don't need to raise any. They don't need to, you know, fundraise to get it. It's
right.
Just extra cash that they didn't have before that they have now.
Exactly.
And it doesn't hurt them to get it.
No. And it doesn't hurt Amazon to allow the donation to occur. You're just saying, hey, you said if I buy this stuff, you're going to give a percentage of my purchase to the organization of my choice. Why is that too much trouble for Amazon to continue? What a company like Amazon, where you've got literally at 17 trucks coming up and down my neighborhood constantly, dropping off like one toner cartridge for me and a spoon for the next guy and maybe a garden hose for the next guy. They're able to waste all that money on gas and vehicles and ridiculous lack of logistics. But no, they can't go ahead and donate anymore to the charity of your choice as a nice thing because they weren't making enough of an impact.
Well, the way to solve the problem of not having enough impact is to beef it up and make the donations larger.
Yeah, increase the percentage.
I mean, isn't that obvious?
It's just gross. I mean, for a company that with like Amazon, I mean, it was a neat thing they did. They didn't have to.
No.
But, I mean, come on. You're going to turn it off? That's just awful.
Yeah.
I'm looking forward to whatever the next charity thought there is. I'm not sure what they're going to do there. But that's just gross. So feel free to get online. 860-522-9842 is the number. Four lines wide open. We're going to take a quick break and get back to the news if you're not on the line. And we are back. This is Computer Talk with Tab. Everything we've talked about has been posted over at computertalkwithtab.com. It's the name of the show.com, which also works. And over on our Facebook page, Mike G has been posting it out there. And if Zuckerberg deems it worthy and you're not in Australia, it might get to you. And, of course, we're tweeting it. Follow us on Twitter, Tab Computer Sys.
But not if you're using Twitterific.
Oh, that's been can't use Twitterific anymore. Is that a thing you used, Dennis, in the past?
I have in the past, like a long time ago.
So, yeah, Twitter's long making some changes.
I haven't done anything with Twitter in years.
No?
So
I haven't either until recently. I'm just checking it out now, so it's kind of interesting. So in other news, as a wait for your calls, you guys might have heard of this. Maybe they didn't, but T-Mobile was hacked again.
Really?
Yeah, this is the fifth time.
Imagine that.
Sorry, sixth time in 5 years. 40 million customers have had their data pilfered off of T-Mobile. And basically what has been pilfered has been, they actually just use an interface with an API that is available on their site, I guess, to grab this data. And so now the bad guys know your name, your billing address, your email, your phone number, your date of birth, your T-Mobile account number, and information such as the phone numbers and the number of lines you have. And in a statement from T-Mobile that came out on Thursday, they explained that the carrier started informing people of their personal data was accessed and offered the opinion that, quote, customer accounts and finances should not be put at risk directly by this event. Well, no kidding, Sherlock. Thanks for that information. Even the article says, note the use of the directly as an apparent acknowledgement of that the siphon records can be used as a basis for phishing, identity theft, and all sorts of things, guys. So come on, man. You know, of course, the bad guys can't use anything directly, but they're going to send emails out to 37 million people saying, hey, you know, there was an incident. They're going to actually use their incident and say there's an incident.
Right. Your and account- they'll even use some of these details that they've collected about people.
Right. Your account
to
number.
Insert into the email to convince them that they know exactly what they've got.
Right. They're going to
use. And it's genuine.
Logos. They're going to use graphics. They're going to use your actual account number, your actual phone numbers, your actual date of birth. And they're going to say, please enter whatever they're going to try to steal from you. And you're going to be like, okay, because they asked you for it. Right.
Right. And because it looks good. It looks accurate and it looks genuine.
Right. So this is the whole basis of phishing. And thanks, T-Mobile, for saying it doesn't affect you directly. We know that. Come on. But it's the rest of it that is the problem. And so we'll put a link up here to you can read the story. But, you know, it's just crazy. It's crazy talk, guys. I mean, these guys got to do a better job of protecting our data so that we're not impacted directly.
I know. And I was blown away when you said it was the sixth time in five years that they was breached.
Yeah.
Wow, that's a lot.
Imagine if they were doing something important, like, I don't know.
Like sending and receiving phone calls?
Or all your text messages that are having to two-factor authenticate. Imagine they're not doing anything important over there. So let's go to Lynn in Naugatuck. She's got a question. What's happening, Lynn?
Yeah, I have a question. You know, I'm a senior citizen. I just use my phone for, like, text messages. I take a few pictures and send them by text. Do I need to buy, like, my phone I have now was $70 a couple years ago.
Nice.
And then a couple weeks ago, you mentioned Google phone for, like, $400.
Yeah.
And then there's the ones for $1,000. I just wonder, do you have to have, what's the benefit to paying, a lot of money for a phone that in 4 years you're going to, or in a year, you have to update?
You ask a great, fair question, Lynn.
Yeah.
What's the benefit? So I want to run my technology as long as I can. So, you know, I've got a Pixel 5 and the 7 is out. You know, my wife is sitting on the couch. Hey, should we get the 7? No. I'm not spending that kind of money if I don't have to. My phone works perfectly well. So your question is exactly correct. Why buy something you don't need? So as long as you can interface with the people you want to interface with, as long as the information you're getting is there, and as long as the phone works, why do you need to change it? So you're worrying about that fear of missing out, right?
Oh, yeah.
You're not missing out on anything. You probably actually have more time in your life if you don't have, if you're not looking at your phone all the time, right? I mean, most of us are addicted to our phones. You are saying, I barely use it for anything. I'm living my life. So you're not missing anything unless someone in your family says, hey, Lynn, we can't reach you or we'd like to communicate with you on this method. And you can't do it with your phone. Like, for example, there's a lot of encrypted texting systems that are out there, right? Signal is one of them that comes to mind. So if your phone is not capable of running that app and your family want to communicate you with an encrypted messaging system, you can't do it. So there's a reason that you might have to upgrade. Otherwise, there isn't any reason. If you have better things to do with your life than look at your phone all day, more power to you. I'm actually a little jealous.
Well, I have a very boring life, actually.
Well, that stinks.
I'm jealous of you with the exciting life.
Oh, nothing exciting about my life.
No. Mine either.
But, so the reason, you know, does the phone break down faster if it's a cheaper model?
It could. They don't build things like they used to anymore. But I got a Bosch oven that shouldn't have been broken down in 3 or 4 years. So it doesn't matter what happens with technology and equipment these days. Anything durable is not durable anymore. As far as I'm concerned, nothing's durable. It's all
So the fancier phones is when you've got a lot of different stuff, you know, complicated or more complex things you want to do on
it. It's the apps, it's the communication tools. You know, a lot of us are going to interface with our security systems, our smart thermostats, our smart refrigerators, our smart dehumidifiers. we just have nothing better to do but to have a dehumidifier say, hello, Eric, welcome home. I'm like, why does my dehumidifier need to know that? But that's really what these smartphones do. I mean, if you have no value in it, you're not missing out on anything. And I would tell you to
The only valid reason for her to update the phone,
yes, sir,
would be for security reasons.
If
the phone that she's got reaches end of life and it's not getting any
updates,
security updates,
right?
But even then, you don't have to drop the phone on the day that it goes end of life,
right?
You can have a few months with it still.
Unless you got $400 burning a hole in your pocket, Lynn, I don't know. I wouldn't do anything with it. I'd just enjoy your $70 phone and laugh at the rest of us.
Good. Okay, that's a relief.
Yeah.
That's a great answer. Okay, well, thank you.
Thank you.
Okay.
Talk to you later. Bye-bye. Yeah, I mean, who needs to spend all the money if you don't have a reason? You know, so many things we can all buy that we don't really need.
I have a Galaxy S10.
Yeah.
And I have no plan to upgrade that.
How many years old is it? I couldn't tell
you
based on the
model. I think it's 4.
Okay, yeah.
4, close to 5 maybe.
Yeah.
But and they're going up to the 23.
Are they? They're up to the 23.
Well, they
now.
Went from 10 to 20.
Oh, that's cheating.
So so the next step up from the 10 was the 20 and then 21, 22, and this spring they're going to be releasing the 23.
Not the 30?
No.
It's all in the marketing, Dennis. It's all in the marketing.
I know. It's very annoying.
You're going to be like, wait, you only have a 10? Yeah, I got a 20.
Just like Word went from Word version 2 to version 6.
Right, exactly.
Back in the 90s.
All smoke and mirrors, guys. So I want to thank you for joining us, guys, on this Saturday morning. We really do appreciate it. I want to thank Carolyn for producing, as she always does. Great job. I want to thank Mike G for posting everything over on our Facebook and Twitter sites, so you should get it out there. Thank you guys for checking us in on the Facebook page. And don't forget, you can always get our show. We're podcasted, so if you somehow need more computer talk in your life, you can download the Odyssey app, and you can listen to us. We have so many episodes that you can listen to us 24/7, 365 days a year.
Remember, we want you to be geeks, too.
See you next week.
Flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Hey, I'm Josh Fink, owner of Knicks Menswear. Getting married? Don't rent some random suit. At Knicks, we help you own the look for about the same price as a rental. You're marrying the love of your life. Don't you deserve a suit that's yours forever? Knicks Menswear, your friend in style.
Head to Safeway this week for these amazing digital deals for members. Signature Farms chicken, split breasts, drumsticks, or thighs. Buy one, get one free of equal or lesser value when you buy two. Or a wheat variety bread, 24-ounce selected varieties. Buy one, get one for free of equal or lesser value when you buy two. And Progresso soup, 18 to 19-ounce selected varieties. Buy two, get three free of equal or lesser value when you buy five. Visit Safeway.com for more details. See you in the aisles.
Do you believe you were wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
True crime fans will love Crime House True Crime Stories, a Crime House original podcast. Every Monday, you'll experience the most notorious true crime cases from that week in history, all linked by a common theme, from serial killers to disappearances to unsolved murders and so much more. Follow and listen to Crime House True Crime Stories, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with Crime House Studios, available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.